What's happening, my Debt-Free Millionaire Zealots? Hey, this is Zach Edwards with another episode of the Debt-Free Millionaire Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about total debt. Now, what's interesting is, right now, I didn't want to give up a day of talking to you, so I'm actually in the Seattle airport. C9 terminal. So I'm waiting for my flight and back to Kansas City. Just came back from Alaska. And instead of waiting until the end of the day to try to put this together, I got some few hours here, so hey, I thought I'd do this right now. So hopefully you can hear me and everything goes well, but it's going to be a little shaky in the video. See, you're on my knee. Here we go. Okay. But today we're going to be talking about total debt. Now, something interesting has just happened. I was just listening to, I mentioned him a few times, Robert Kiyosaki's podcast, and I completely disagree with him. This is... happens all the time for different people in finance and education, but one of the big things that he was touting is that if you took all your money and put it into, or sorry, if you went out to the bank and got a loan for say $10,000 and threw it into Bitcoin, you'd be able to buy a ton of Bitcoin, and you'd be able to keep compiling until you get to about $2 million worth of debt, and you'd have like $56 million worth of Bitcoin. With their projections of it going up. The problem is what happens if all of a sudden that projection is wrong and they don't actually get the money that they want? If that happens, all of a sudden you lost a ton of money. The value of Bitcoin goes from 56,000, their estimated amount. What if it went to zero? What if the government the next day outlawed it? That means your cryptocurrency value was zero. If you were paying with cash, if it went down to zero, you lost what cash you had. But if you bought it with debt, you still owe the bank or a company or a family member, whoever you borrowed it from, you still owe them back. This is why there's so much stress that's involved with debt. And you may think that, oh, this is a great opportunity, so I need to be able to use it and I need to borrow for it. But what happens if that's called? Now, there is, if you have a company, you can actually go bankrupt, or actually a personal person can go bankrupt. A company can also go bankrupt. If you file for bankruptcy, all of a sudden that means you don't have to pay it anymore. You go through a court system and you don't have to pay it. But here's the thing. What is your word valued at? I'm serious. You gave your word that you paid it back. So are you going to pay it back or are you not going to pay it back? Are you going to keep your word to the person that you borrowed it from, even if it's a company, and are you going to pay it back? Some of these guys say, well, this is business, and they know it's business, and so it's all good. Well, I signed on my dotted line, Zach Edwards, I will be paying back this loan. If I don't, where's my ethics? Who should trust me if I can't pay back the simplest person, which is somewhere I got a loan from? Yes, and they have insurances, they have other ways of making their money back, all these different things. But here's the problem. Again, I still gave my word. So what is your word worth? What is you as a person worth? And so that I hold at a higher rate than whatever I'm going to get, whatever I'm going to purchase. Which is why, like Dave Ramsey, myself, in this situation would say, if you're going to get into debt, then make sure you can pay it back. If you can get rid of the debt, then you don't ever have to worry about it. And yes, you might be going at a slower rate. You won't be able to buy as many Bitcoin as you want. You might not be able to start up your company as fast as you want. But remember, what happens if all of a sudden the loan is pulled and they seize your company or they seize the house that you purchased? All these different things can happen. So is it worth it to get in this debt that you cannot pay back? So there's a scheme out there, and I do actually call it a scheme. It is legal, but you're scheming to make more money. And basically what it is you buy a house, you fix it up. So you buy a distressed house, you fix it up, and then you refinance the loan. When you refinance the loan, all that extra equity that you built up in the house, you now pull out of the house. So when you owed, like say it's a $100,000 home, and you bought it for $80,000, and you put $5,000 in it, and now it's worth $100,000. You pull out the $20,000 on top, that means it's completely maxed out. Every penny of the loan is still owed. And you go take that money and put it into another house. Well, that's a great business idea. So I can leverage my debt and put it into another house. But in 2008, I learned a very, very important lesson. And this is where a lot of people lost their shirts. They lost their houses, their businesses. Everything that they built up, they couldn't pay back because there was no renters. The renters couldn't pay. There's all these different reasons. And all of a sudden, all these houses, all these foreclosures went under. They became foreclosures. Now, people like me that had money afterwards, people that were smart with their money and had excess money on the side, they were able to buy up those houses. So the people that had this scheme of leveraging all their debt in the house and refinancing all the money out just to buy another house lost all their houses. And those that were smart and kept their debt low and was able to keep their money high, they were actually able to put the money into those houses, buy them for pennies on the dollar, and make all this money back. And then everyone that had foreclosed, it was put on their credit score. So you know how we talk about how you can work to get your credit score. Well, the problem is that your credit score is only to borrow more money. What happens if you do this scheme and all of a sudden you go bankrupt? You're now shocked. Your system is now shocked. Your credit score is shot for the next 7 years. And so you can't borrow from a bank or from a credit card. They won't let you borrow. You have to go borrow from money changers, which have a higher interest rate because you're desperate to get this money. And so you get into this spiral. Even if you go bankrupt, you go back in the spiral and it's going to happen again. And then you go bankrupt, and it's going to happen again. I think Robert Kiyosaki's been through bankruptcy 5 times. Dave Ramsey went through once, maybe even twice, but that's before he started getting out of debt. So there is good debt and there's bad debt. And then there's extended amount of debt, which I think is just as bad as bad debt. Because even though it's part of your business, it's not actually getting you what you should be having, and that's honest and good assets. And when I say good assets, it means it's assets that you actually own. So you might be a real estate, you might be this guru of real estate, and you have 1,000 houses, but you've leveraged every single house in your portfolio. So that means you have no equity in the house. You don't own any of it because all of that is debt that you've put into the next house. You automatically own nothing. There is nothing that you own. If every house, let me put it this way. If you have a mortgage on every house, the bank owns that house. You do not own that house. So you might be earning some money coming off of it, monthly revenue, but you do not own that house. You own nothing. If I have $1 million worth of debt and I have $1 million worth of real estate, how much do I own? What's my assets? Zero. 1 million minus 1 million is zero. The government likes playing these schemes as well, which is why a lot of these business owners think that they can do this. And they can because it's legal. But I want you guys to be smarter and pay cash, pay off your debts, get into debt that you know that you can pay back, and then you never have to worry about this ever, ever again. So let me go into a little bit more into total debt. So this is more personal debt, but this also goes with business debt. So let's talk about the players. Oh, let's actually, before we talk about that, if the bank owns all your properties and you have basically no assets because you owe, your debt is $1 million and you own $1 million worth of real estate, you now have zero. You own zero. But you do have all that debt on your head. So what's happening? You have become the slave and the bank has become the slave owner. The bank owns Robert Kiyosaki. He might not think it, but if everything is mortgaged out by the bank, he owns nothing. Everything is owned by the bank. Now, if he owes, let's say he owes $1 million and he has $10 million of assets. He has $9 million worth of equity in there, so he has $9 million. That's someone that owes. But when you first get into the scheme where you're trying to buy up all these houses, refinance them to get all the money out, and then put that in the next house, all you're doing is perpetuating the same thing. You're creating this bottleneck, which at some point, it'll all come tumbling down, which has happened to all these guys that have these big ideas of buying all these houses. So this is why I want you guys to get out of debt. Don't be the slave to the debt. Don't be a slave to the bank. Be your own master. Okay, so let's go through some of these slave owners. Okay, so these are the credit card companies. Easiest money you can get is from the credit cards. There's everybody wants to give you a credit card. And so when you give everyone a credit card, when everyone's able to get a credit card, all these teenagers or all these college students are able to get credit cards, they're going to max out their credit cards. Unless they're smart, they're going to max out their credit cards and they're going to owe this money. And they're like, wait a second, I did this to have fun, to buy up things that have like no meaning to them, no value to them. And then all of a sudden, they owe $10,000 and they don't have the money to pay it back. So then they go bankrupt or their credit score gets hit because they did not pay their debts back. And what's happening then? They're now becoming the slave to the credit card. Or if they can't pay and they default, the credit card company will say, well, I'm going to send it over your credit score. And all of a sudden, they become your slave owner. That means you cannot get any more debt from any lender because they're going to look at your credit score, which is this number that's floating around online that basically says how possible it is for you to actually pay back your debt. If you have a high amount of debt and your income is very low, your credit score is going to be very low. If you make a lot of money and you have a reasonable amount of debt, your credit score is going to be high. But if you don't pay your debt, what happens? That credit score will be dropped for the next 7 years because on the credit report, it'll actually say that you are a default. You do not pay your debts. And so your credit score will be destroyed for the next 7 years. So be careful of this. This is what we're trying to talk to people about. It's not worth it to get into slavery with your credit card company because you're going to be working at your full-time job just to pay off your credit card. And if you're doing that, all your money is going to the credit card company. So the credit card company owns you. That's how it is. The same thing goes with the bank. Bank does the same thing. They let you borrow money and they love letting you borrow money, but then all of a sudden your interest rates go high and you realize that you cannot pay back all your debts because you have credit card company looking over you. You have your bank looking over you. You have other people looking over you. And all of a sudden, you don't have the money coming in every month to pay off those debts. And this is why, again, the next thing that happens is the credit bureau comes after you. And they tank your credit score. Now, there are three credit bureaus out there. There's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. So these create basically the history of your company or your personal life. This is your financial history. And they say, this person did not pay this, they did not pay this, they did not pay this. This credit card amount is too high. They make all these different decisions about you based on your history, and your credit score will go down or up from that. I've been at 830, I've been down to 300. Oh, no, I've been down to 500. Never been down to 300. The reason why I went down to 500 is because my ex-wife actually had debt. She had a student loan, and I was signed up for that student loan. And you cannot get your name off that student loan. If you marry someone and you co-sign on their loan, the student loan is the only one that you cannot pull your name off of. You cannot take that away from, they're going to get their money from you. You can't go bankrupt and get your money out. So this is the only loan that the government can continue to come after you for the next 30 years or until you pay it back. So be careful about your student loans. Again, you cannot go bankrupt and get rid of that loan. So watch out for that. So any of those bureaus, anyone that lets you borrow the money for your student loan, they then become the slave owner, the master. Okay, what about family? This is one of the worst places you can borrow money because you do not want to be a slave to your family because they're going to hold it over your head forever. At least the credit card companies, they don't have your personal number, or they don't live down the street from you, or they don't know you personally. When you're borrowing from family, they know you. They do you want you to people to know that your mom owns you? Yeah, that's pretty bad. Or your dad owns you, or your sister owns you, or your brother owns you, your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law. One of those people own you, it gets really bad. But what's worse? So these are legitimate places to borrow money. What's worse, a bookie. Never borrow money from someone that does not have the legal system behind them. Someone that's doing it illegally, or someone that's just letting you borrow money. However much money you want to borrow, they're going to want that money back. What bookies will do is they will intimidate you. They will break a bone in your body, maybe an arm, maybe a leg. A lot of these bookies are actually get big and get your money because you want to gamble your money. If you get into gambling, please get out. Because what will happen, especially illegal gambling, these bookies will lend you the money to borrow towards winning whatever bet that you're putting out. But the thing is, you get addicted to it, and you'll go to the next bet, and you'll go to the next bet, and you might win one of those bets, but ultimately, you will lose the rest of the bets. And in the end, the house always wins. Remember that when it's gambling. Wherever you go, you will never win above the house. Because two reasons. One, because everything is structured so that company that is running it, the casino, the horse races, they want to make their money. They need to make money. It's a business. So they've stacked it so that they will make their money no matter what. So any money that you put in will be paid to them. Now, you might get a great heads up on some gamble that's going to be a for sure thing. Well, nothing's for sure. And also know that that might be one, but then you'll get addicted. Oh, I can do this again. No, you can't. Because every time, the further you get into it, the more you will lose. Talk to anyone that's been in gambling and gotten out of the gambling, they'll tell you the exact same thing. Now, there are things that people do, say, I'm just going to spend $20. Okay, I can understand that. If you're going to spend $20 and you have self-restraint, and you're not going to say, well, I can put another $20 in, and I can put another $20 in, then you're going to keep going. These bookies are there when you can't borrow any more money from legitimate places, and you need to borrow it from them in order to lay your bets down. They will come after you. They will intimidate your family. They will do things up to the point of being illegal to scare you into paying back their money, because they do want to get their money back, and they can't go to the government and say, hey, this person didn't pay up, because they're illegal. Bookies are technically, they're skirting the lines of legality. What's another one you can do? Okay, you're gonna see a lot of these places when you drive around town. They're called title loans or paycheck lenders. These are people that are, they're basically saying, you can borrow money, but if it's a title loan, you're gonna give up your car's title if you don't pay up. You will lose your car if you don't pay up. And you might think you're gonna pay up, but most of the times you won't pay up, and they'll confiscate your car, or they'll confiscate your house, or they'll confiscate your paycheck. Yes, they can actually go after your paycheck if you don't pay up. These are legal entities. The government actually allows these to go forward, and they will go after your paycheck, even the entire thing, in order for them to get paid back. And they have a legal right to, because you asked to borrow money. So here are some things that here's a great one. Have you ever seen The Christmas Carol? Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. Do you ever remember Jacob Marley? So he was one of the ghosts. He was the first ghost that was in the story. He came to Ebenezer Scrooge and he has all these chains all over him. So he had all these chains. It wasn't regrets. Now, it might have been partially regrets. No, the way that they played it in the movie, it was his debt. It was the debt to society, maybe? Oh, give me one second. There is an announcement, and it's getting loud. Just a second. Okay, we're back. That was an annoying announcement. Okay, so Ebenezer Scrooge and The Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge was a money changer. He was someone that was collecting from different people, gathering all this money. It's all about what the whole story is about. So he was very stingent with his money. He was someone that would go after someone if they did not pay up their debts. They would take their homes, kick them out on the streets. And you know, during that time, it was winter during the play, and he would throw someone out of the house and put someone else in the house. So this is what a money changer is. Someone that takes money or gives someone money. Yeah, 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 announcements. And we're back now. Okay, sorry about that. This is the hard part about doing it in the airport. But I thought it'd be an interesting experience. Okay, going back to Ebenezer Scrooge. So he was a money changer. He wanted money from everyone he was giving it out to. So he'd give you money, and if you couldn't pay it back, he'd kick you out of the house. He'd kick you out of the rental. He'd kick you out. He'd go after you to get all the money that you had. And he had the legal right because of how it was in that time. Money changers were legal during that time. Jacob Marley was the ghost that came back to him. And at that point, he said, basically, repent. Go back from your evil ways, because this is what happened to me. I died while not changing my ways. And all of a sudden, he had all these chains that were over him that he'd carry on for eternity, because they were regrets. They were everything that he owed to society. These were his debts on society, because he had destroyed so many lives, because he had done so many rotten things. Money changers are not to be trusted. And if you become a money changer, you're going to be the next Ebenezer Scrooge or the Jacob Marley. So now let's go over what happens with debt. Okay. So high debt takes away your freedom. If you owe a huge amount of money and you're not bringing enough money in, they will call your debt. They will actually make it so that you cannot do certain things that you want to do. And you have to work full time in order to pay off your debts. And if you don't work full time, they'll take everything away from you, everything financial away from you. So high debt takes away your freedom. You also, if you have high debt, you can't go on vacations when you want to, because you have to work in order to pay your debts off. So high debt also decreases your credit score. Your credit score is what holds you available to borrow more money. Now, the great thing is this: if you can get rid of the credit score, you don't need the credit score anymore, because you're never going to borrow any more money ever again. So all of a sudden, every dollar that you have is your credit score. If you have the money, you can buy the thing. If you don't have the money, you can't buy the thing. Just like a credit score. If you have the credit score, you can get loaned the thing and buy the thing. If you don't have the credit score, you can't borrow the money, you can't get the thing. So bringing your credit score down because you didn't pay up will hurt you in the end. Again, if we can get out of that debt, you're going to be a lot stronger because of it. What's also, so debt can also land you in prison or bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is going to destroy you financially for the next 7 years. Prison is going to destroy you for basically the rest of your life, because that will be on your record. And people can look up your prison records. You actually have to divulge that in some businesses when you go to work for them. So if you do things that are underhanded or against the law, you will end up in prison. If you can't pay your debts, you're probably going to go through bankruptcy. If your company can't pay up your debts, you're probably going to go through bankruptcy. And what happens then? They will take away all your assets in that. If you have your company structured right, they'll take away only your company assets. If you don't have it structured right, or if they can see that you've actually been using your personal money and your business money together, they will take both assets. So stay vigilant. Do not allow that to happen. Anyways, this is Zach Edwards with another Debt-Free Millionaire podcast in here in the Seattle airport. Thanks so much for listening to me. And I hope this actually comes through, because this is some great information that everyone needs to know. And as soon as the janitor stops crinkling up the garbage bag, actually, you know what? I'm just going to end it. Thank you so much. We will catch you next time. Take care and have a great day. It is the beginning of the day. Get out and do something productive. Talk to you soon. Bye.